Welcome to Stuttering 101. You're here with Eric Jackson, my good buddy Peter Reitzis.
Hey, guys.
And our special guest, return guest, good friend of the show, Dr. Joe Klein. How you doing, Joe?
I'm good. Thanks, Eric. I'm doing well.
Dr. Joe Klein is a person who stutters and an assistant professor in communication sciences and disorders at the College of St. Rose in Albany, New York. Joe supervises therapy for people who stutter and teaches classes in fluency disorders. Dr. Klein has presented nationally at the American Speech Language Hearing Association, FRIENDS, the Association of Young People Who Stutter, and the National Stuttering Association Conventions. He has also published articles in Contemporary Issues in Communication Sciences and Disorders, the Journal of Fluency Disorders, and the Journal of Stuttering Therapy Advocacy and Research.
So Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's always great to have you back. We want to talk to you today about the impact of stuttering on employment opportunities and job performance. So the first question is, in 2003, you conducted a survey study with 232 people who stutter ages 18 and older. The purpose of your study was to, quote, examine the impact that stuttering has on job performance and employability. So tell us about this study.
Well, yeah, we were, and this is a study that I did along with Stephen Hood at the University of South Alabama. For so long with my own stuttering, I always felt like, well, you know, when I'm fluent, I could do this job, or when I'm fluent, I could do that. And I always felt that if I stuttered, you know, I couldn't really be a productive worker in any kind of a company or anything like that. And then in going back and doing some research, just kind of looking at how many different groups feel pretty negatively about people who stutter, whether you're talking about school teachers or principals or employers or vocational rehab counselors. You know, that was really amazing. And one thing that we realized was that nobody in the United States had ever really done a large study, you know, looking at how people who stutter feel that their own stuttering impacted them at work. So what we were trying to do was to see how the people who stutter themselves felt that their stuttering negatively impacted employability, promotion possibilities, job performance. And we were also interested in looking at factors like gender, ethnicity, age, severity of stuttering impact that at all. So is there a difference between how men and women view the impact of stuttering? And there just wasn't a lot of research out there at the time.
And Dr. Klein, what did the study find?
Well, you know, what we found was that about 70% of the participants really agreed that stuttering decreases an individual's chances of being hired. Another 70% of people who stutter believed that stuttering interferes with being promoted. A little over half agreed that employers, a little over half of people who stutter believed that employers think that stuttering will interfere with job performance. And in fact, about 70% of people who stutter agreed that their own stuttering has interfered with their job performance. And almost half of the 232 people who stutter agreed that overall they would be better at their job if they didn't stutter. About 40% agreed they would earn more money if they didn't stutter and would have a different career if they didn't stutter. And, you know, one thing I found really interesting was one in five people stated that they had actually turned down either a job or a promotion because of their stuttering. So it just, you know, it really looked as if people's own stuttering really impacted them at work. And then just one more percentile I'll throw out here is that exactly 50% agreed that they had sought employment which required minimal speaking because of their stuttering.
So, Joe, were there any surprises in this study?
Yeah. There were some things that I was really surprised about, actually. And most of them actually involved once we actually broke down the numbers just as far as who believed what. And, you know, we asked 17 different questions. And when we broke up the questions and the responses according to gender, we found that actually the women who responded to the study answered all 17 questions more optimistically than the males did. And, you know, just because of how many questions we asked, we tried to be really conservative in the kinds, you know, in order for there to be a true statistical significant difference, there really had to be a huge difference between the two groups. And we still found that for six of those 17 questions, that women were much less likely to think that stuttering hurts your chances of being hired, that it reduces opportunity for promotion. They were much less likely to believe that they'd be better at their job if they were fluent. So, you know, to me, that was probably the most interesting finding that we had, just that overall it looks like males who stutter are much more likely to believe that their own stuttering is handicapping than are the females who stutter.
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is, did you look at the difference, the different jobs that the men and women had? Is there any chance that the men had jobs that required more speaking? And I'm being very careful how I ask this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, we did try to break down the jobs into, you know, the type of jobs that people had. But, you know, there didn't seem to be any difference. And in fact, if you looked at the kinds of jobs, and, you know, really, like I said, there really wasn't any real difference between the two. In fact, you know, you could almost argue, because we did have, you know, certainly we had more women who responded that they were nurses and were teachers, you know, and those are certainly jobs that involve a lot of speaking. So it's, I know, I'd have to say there probably wasn't a difference because of the kind of jobs people have. You know, I almost think it goes back to that, just kind of the giant in chains idea, where, you know, I'm not sure if men are more likely to think, oh gosh, if I didn't stutter, I'd be president of the country, I'd be married to a supermodel, and I'd be perfect if it wasn't for this darn stuttering. And that maybe women are able to just look at it more holistically and to look at more what their own strengths and their weaknesses are and realize that, okay, I stutter, but, you know, there are lots of other things I can do well. Now, I'm not sure about that, but that's kind of the conclusion that we came to in doing the study.
So, Joe, there's four variables that I want to ask you about: age, speech therapy, self-help, and ethnicity. So let's take them in order. Did the age of the participants have anything to do with how they responded?
Yes. There wasn't a huge difference. It certainly wasn't. The difference wasn't as great as how we saw between males and females, but what we did was to break the respondents up into people who were under age 50 and those who were 50 and older, and those who were over 50 were significantly more likely to believe they would earn more money and have a better job if they did not stutter, and were also were more likely to have turned down a job or a promotion in the past, and probably there were probably two main reasons for that, but I'd love to hear what you two think as well. Is that number one, they just have more job experience, and so, you know, they would have had more of a chance to have either turned down a new job or something like that. But I think also, and we don't really have the research yet to show this, and I think maybe we do, but, you know, I feel like over the past, say, 30 years, I think people overall are more accepting than they used to be of having a difference. And that, you know, I have worked myself at one company where, I mean, certainly no one told me this, but I almost felt as if those people in management were actually happy to have people working who were competent, who had a disorder of some kind. Yeah. And that, yeah, you know, and that they actually viewed it as a positive. Where I think if you were to go back into, you know, even the early 1980s, I think that probably wasn't the case at all. I think it was the exact opposite. That, you know, if you did have a difference in any way, whether it was a handicap or a racial difference or a gender difference, I think that was viewed much more negatively, and that now sometimes it's even viewed positively.
It's also a possibility that the older group there just has many, many more bad experiences with stuttering.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. And so, you know, they've just had more time working, and you're going to run into more stupid people, you know, the longer you're alive. So I think that's part of it too.
And I wonder aloud if people who stutter themselves are also more accepting now of their stuttering than in previous generations or decades. So, I'm sorry, did you want to comment?
No, I think that's a really interesting question. And I don't know, you know, unfortunately, there's so much research on, you know, how people who do not stutter view people who stutter more negatively, you know, from the 1920s and 30s, we really have that research. But as far as actually taking the time to ask people who stutter how they felt about themselves, there's not a lot to compare that to, unfortunately. In looking back at the research, you just kind of overall, not just with people who stutter, but with anybody who has a disability, you know, the two main factors that will, you know, kind of turn a disability into a handicap are often how people who don't have the disability view the people who have the disability, number one. And then the second factor is how the people who have the disability view the disability. So that, you know, if you're a person who stutters, who think, and I certainly felt this way, that, oh, I could never have a job where I have to talk a lot if I stutter. That would just be an impossibility. So I think that's huge.
Yeah, and I'm certainly not a lawyer, but I do believe that as far as disability law goes, if somebody sees you as disabled, I think legally speaking, you are disabled in some situation. So just the perception that you can't do something is a disability. At least, yeah, but again, I'm not a lawyer. Okay, a couple other things. Did you distinguish at all in your study between people who were involved in self-help or were very active in speech therapy?
That's a really good point. We were not able to do that, and this was actually a project I worked on in the middle of grad school, and what we thought is that we could get the biggest number of people if we mainly targeted people who were going into the National Stuttering Association, and then also people who are already in therapy. You know, those people are just obviously a lot easier to find.
Sure.
And so, you know, we didn't really have enough people who were not involved in support to really have any real differences there. And, you know, we didn't really have that many differences either between people who were in therapy and people who were not in therapy. But again, you know, most of the people involved were people who were already in the support group. But I think that's interesting too. If you look at how negatively a lot of people who stutter answered the questions,
yeah,
and think, well, gosh, these are the people that are receiving support, that have, you know, sought support, you know, how do the people that, you know, either are too, well, what's hard is that, you know, maybe these numbers are accurate, because I kind of think the two main reasons why people don't seek support is either they're so embarrassed by the fact that they stutter that they don't want to be around other people who stutter. And the second reason is that they don't care that there are people who stutter, and so they don't really see a reason for having support. So it's possible that those two groups would almost cancel each other out in a survey like this, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, it seems that the fine research that you've done is hindered in the same way that all stuttering research is done, which is most people who stutter don't go into clinics. So, you know, or are not part of research. So
absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and that's, you know, that's something that I know we have talked about before, is, you know, where are all these people who stutter, you know? Yeah. And yeah. And so the people who are involved in the as research participants are a pretty skewed population, I think.
So the last question I'd like to ask you is how did ethnicity play into this study, and was your study diverse enough to even say?
Good, yeah, I'm really glad you asked that, and you know, this was probably our second most interesting finding that we had, in that, you know, what we had hoped to do was to be able to break down ethnicity a little bit more specifically, but we ended up having a lot more Caucasians than we had other groups. And so about 82% of our respondents were Caucasians, and then obviously 18% were not. And that what we found, the differences weren't quite as great as they were between males and females, but that overall, people who are Caucasian who stutter are more optimistic about the impact of stuttering at work than are non-Caucasians who also stutter. And, you know, in going back and trying to figure out why that would be so, you know, one of my favorite lines came from a Herbert and Cheatham article in 1998, just talking about four people who are in a so for people who are not only handicapped but also are non-white, it then creates what they call a double bias. Well, that was a good stutter.
A double bias
where the person thinks, well, gosh, you know, I'm already a minority, and that might hurt me in getting hired. And then I have a disability or a handicap, and so I'm, you know, that's going to really limit my chances of being hired. And so, you know, the findings that we got for people who stutter really mirror just everybody who has a disability who's also viewed to be a minority.
How can the results of your study and experience help clinicians working with people who stutter?
Yeah, and you know, that's such an important question, I think. And I know all of us have talked before that, you know, most speech therapy out there, I think, is not very functional therapy. You know, you've got people either working up fluency hierarchies or just working on things that often are separated from things that happen in real life. And to me, you know, as a speech therapist, you have to do functional activities in therapy. You know, is your client able to very comfortably talk about their stuttering? Is your client very comfortably able to advertise their stuttering? If your client gets into a block or anything else, is your client either able to move out of the moment of stuttering or to have a different way to cope with that? And that, because you know, it's really obvious here that people who stutter do really feel that, you know, having that speech impairment is really handicapping at work. So, you know, just really doing things that are functional, like role-playing job interviews, role-playing things that might happen at work, and really trying to problem solve that, those are just some ways, I think, you know, that a speech therapist could really help to tackle this issue. And then also, I think, you know, making sure that, you know, our clients who stutter really know a lot about stuttering and know that there are really successful people out there who stutter. You know, just last night here at St. Rose, we had group therapy with 8 adults who stuttered. 2 of the 8 were MDs who were here. So I think, and you know, growing up, I think a lot of kids who stutter don't realize that. Like, you know, I would have never thought you could be a doctor and stutter. And so just having that knowledge, I think, is really powerful as well. How about the two of you? What do you think therapists could do in therapy to try to tackle those things?
I think the things you mentioned, Joe, I mean, being as practical in the therapy room as you can is the best way to address these types of issues as far as I'm concerned. So something like advertising at a job situation or an interview or something like that, to me, I don't see anything better than putting it out there. Advertising to me at work is like golden.
Right. Absolutely. One of the jobs I had when I was in my early 20s, I was in customer service for an insurance company, and I just answered the phone for 8 hours a day every day. And you know, we were just in little cubicles in this huge room. So it was like all the customer service people, all the sales people, all the nurses. I mean, you know, everybody could hear everybody else on the phone. And the only way that I could cope with that is I was constantly talking about my stuttering. You know, it was just a topic I brought up all the time, because I knew that, you know, if I was in that situation and trying to hide my stuttering, I mean, there was just no way that I could do that. And it turned into really one of the most positive experiences I ever had, because It was just – I was totally open about my speech, and you know, I was focused on really doing a good job rather than on trying not to stutter. And I think that, you know, if I started like not making phone calls because of my stuttering, I mean, that's what my job was. So, you know, if I had tried to hide my stuttering, I probably would have gotten fired because I wouldn't have been effective at my job. The only way I could do my job was to really openly stutter. And I think that's just – that's so important to try to get across to clients, whether they're in a job situation or a school situation, is that you have to participate. Your job as an employee, as a student, is to really participate in the class. And if you're not doing that because of your stuttering, the problem – you know, isn't really the stuttering. The problem's that you're not participating, I think.
And I'll just say one thing in response to your question, Joe, which is that stuttering is always okay. And working on your stuttering is always okay. And I think that's the starting point for therapy, generally speaking, of course. Well, thanks for joining us today, Joe, at Stuttering 101. We've really enjoyed your presentation.
Oh, thank you. It was a lot of fun. I always enjoy talking with you guys. You guys are doing amazing things.
Thank you. Oh, and you're coming back next week, so stay tuned for more of Joe Klein.